Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
A very pleasant good Wednesday morning. It is a, no, it's not a Wednesday. It is a thrilling Thursday edition. See, I missed the Wednesday and I wanted to catch up for it and
too much eating.
It was a wild, wonderful, wacky Wednesday.
Okay,
but
good.
Now we're on to the Thufferin' Fuckatash. It's Thursday. Edition of Let's Talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Did you miss me?
Well, of course. Did you bring my bacon doggy bag?
I did.
And
Kenai says thank you very much. Kenai was very, very appreciative.
Give me my bell.
What?
Holy smokes. Give me the bell. The dog gets the bacon.
Well, you know, it's
Come
sitting
on.
There, and it was just too doggone, doggone tempting. See what I did?
Doggone. Yes, very nice.
Yeah, so... Actually, there was no bacon. They have some really good sausage.
Well, that would have been fine.
But, yeah, good time had by all. They do Tom Elling and Dick and Lloyd Rhodes have really kept this thing going. It started back in 2011. They got a few coaches and former coaches together. I'll have to ask them. I don't know what the exact number was. I think it was like maybe, I think it was fewer than 20. I'm not 100% sure on that. I'll have to ask Tom about that at some point. But then it grew and they started inviting some other people. Well, now pretty much anybody that's associated in any way with wrestling gets an invite, and it's pretty much first come, first serve in terms of the RSVPs. I think they can take it right around 200, and we get together at the Flemington First United Church in Mill Hall, and they do a wonderful job serving the breakfast, and it's really just a day to catch up, share some stories. We bring up a couple of different folks to the microphone that are doing different things in the wrestling world, and it's just a good time. So I've been very fortunate to attend it for probably 7 years or so now, 7 or 8, and then the last couple I've been very fortunate to get to MC the event. And again, it's a pretty informal event, but a lot of fun, and just fun catching up with folks. Joe Humphreys is always there, was there yesterday, actually came off, he's 96 now.
Oh, yeah.
And on, let's see, this would have been Tuesday, he spent the day at Spring Creek at Fisherman's Paradise with about 30 youngsters, fifth graders, who came up, I believe he said, from the Johnstown area.
Cool.
Just learning a thing or two about fishing. Just what a remarkable, remarkable individual. But anyways, good time had by all. Then I got to do the PA yesterday for State College softball. We'll get to the details on that. A heartbreaker in the first game for State High yesterday. But, boy, we actually had nice weather. It was a beautiful day to be out playing softball or baseball or doing anything else outdoors. And, of course, it's the one day that the Mad Turtle has nothing scheduled. No baseball practice, no baseball game. I'm like,
perfect.
Now, he had some other activities that kept him occupied, but I'm like, really? So we're going to try today. He has a game scheduled. We're
Cross
keeping our fingers crossed that we are able to get it in. But anyways, good morning. Hope everybody is doing well. Lots to get into over the course of today's program.
Oh, yeah. We got another busy show. All right.
Yeah.
We've got a pair of guests. Later on this hour, one of our sponsors, the Nittany Lights, is going to join us. Now, they're not going to sing this time. Okay, so you don't have to sing.
Well, this is very fortunate.
That's a good thing.
For everybody involved.
But their big spring event is next weekend in State College. And so we're going to have a couple of guests, including their new director, who's a lady.
Hey, hey, hey.
This is an all-men's chorus. All right, so when I saw that, I thought, all right, that's interesting. There's a, you know, some stories I'm sure involved there. So that's later this hour.
Cool.
Then the next hour, folks, we have to do this.
Yeah. Right? What do we have to do?
I really don't want to. All right, we're going to have a Penn State guest next hour. We're going to be talking about something that apparently we'll find out from our guest. Apparently, this is going to hit us very soon. We don't want it to. It hasn't happened in a long time, but it's going to happen. Cicadas are supposed to show up in our neighborhood shortly. All right. Now, if you're not familiar with cicadas, they're ugly. Mm-hmm. They got big red eyes.
Yep.
And they only show up every 17 years. If I have my brood right, I think I do. There's a 14-year variety, and there's a 17-year variety. And apparently around here, we have the 17-year variety.
There you go.
And their year is 2025.
Hmm.
Okay. And so it's May. Yeah, coming up here. So we have a Penn State guest that we've had on before, talking about insects and stuff. So I said, as soon as I saw this on some news story a few weeks ago, I thought, oh, no, 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 not those things. Oh, they're, oh, no, no, no. So we're going to find out about cicadas. What are they? What's going to happen? How does it affect you in some particular way? Is it only in certain spots? That's the crazy thing about these crazy insects. Is Center County is supposed to be in ground zero this year. Center County and Clinton County are supposed to be ground zero for this brood. And I believe it's brood number 14. They even number them. All right? And yes, they're up to 14. Actually, it goes higher than that. So we're going to find out from our guest next hour about these little... allegedly, they're harmless, I think, but they're big and they're ugly and they're loud. You have been, well, you will be warned, all right?
Yes.
So next hour, you will be warned, all right? So get ready for that. Anyway, all right, we got some open lines here for a little bit. If you'd like to chime in, 814-954-7266. All right, if you'd like to chime in, we got sports later on. Then we have all of our guests. We got a busy show today, so there we go. If you don't follow weather, all right, yeah, this morning is gorgeous. Absolutely beautiful.
Perfect. Oh, it's going to be a great day.
Can your guy play his game this morning? No. Allegedly get some more rain later today. And tomorrow. Now, of course, Penn State graduation is this weekend. Da, 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 da. I think Saturday and Sunday are supposed to be okay, I think. Actually, I'm going to ask our cicada guest, does weather affect this at all? All right? If we had certain weather, would the little buggers stay underground or wherever the heck they come from? The Motel 6 or something, or wherever they stay, okay, those things. I'm going to have to ask him that because it's been kind of a wet week, all right? I was able to finally get some lawn mowing done yesterday because my lawn was starting to look ridiculous. So I was able to get that in. I'm like, oh, thank goodness. Now here comes more rain. Anyway. All right, lots of things to talk about. Now, we got some busy. This is busy time, okay? So, for instance, if you're a Penn State alum, all right, you should have gotten the note a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, about this Board of Trustees alumni election.
Yes.
Which officially ends at 9 a.m. today. So by my clock, you have 51 minutes left to vote.
That's it.
All right. And then this is all online. And then at 9 a.m., apparently, whoop, that's it. Cut off. You're done. All right, so if somehow you still haven't done this, you now have about 50 minutes left, until, isn't that wild? You got 50 minutes left to vote, all right? Three seats open, a pile of people running. The last time they had this vote, 3% of alums voted, which is deplorable. I mean, that's terrible. All right, come on. We got to beat, that's my goal. We got to beat 3%. All right, so we'll see what happens. Board of Trustees meets today and tomorrow, of course, leading into graduation weekend. Will they announce the winners today? I would assume yes, all right, because, again, this is all in line. They'll have the numbers. They'll know who the winners are. So I would assume today, I don't know, maybe tomorrow, they will announce who these, you know, three people are. So, you know, be on the lookout for that. Another event today. We've mentioned this a bunch of times. PennDOT is having this public meeting, public event at the Wyndham Garden State College, which most of us still refer to as the Elks Club in Bowlesburg. This is today from 4 until 8 p.m. They're talking about the new road, Bowlesburg to Potter's Mills. Now, again, on Monday, they spilled the beans. Okay, here's our pick. And it was the so-called central route. North, central, and south, they kind of picked the central route. Now, they're still in a public discussion period, all right? So, in other words, you still have a chance to sound off if you want to. And if you want to find out more, they're doing this public event. This is today, 4 to 8 p.m. So, you know, if you work till 5 or whatever, you can go after work and so on. At the Wyndham Garden Hotel State College, the Elks Club, they'll have lots of maps, information, statistics. They'll have people answering questions, the whole nine yards. So if you're very interested in this, and hopefully you should be very interested in this, because this is pretty major, this new road they want to put in, where are they going to put it, how much is it going to cost, who's going to be affected, what happens to them? I mean, there's a lot of questions here. Not only just for the people being affected between Bowlesburg and Potter's Mills, but for the rest of us. Now, this is we've had PennDOT guests on multiple times about this road. And this is a long-term project. It could be 10 years before we finally see this road, like, finished, totally done. It's about 8 miles long. And this is a 10-year project. Now, the beginning of the 10-year project, they still have legal things to do, official things to do. I fully expect that some of the folks that would be directly affected by this are not going to sit quietly. They're probably going to, I don't know, hire a lawyer, get a lawsuit, whatever. I have no idea. I have some friends that live in this stretch, so it would affect them directly. And so there's a lot to do, but this public meeting is the perfect thing to find out more information and speak your piece, I guess, at least for the time being. So 4 to 8 p.m., Wyndham Garden Elks Club in Bowlesburg. You know, check that out today. I'm going to try to swing over and catch the beginning of that today. So, because I'm still curious. I want to, you know, we're on the radio here, for goodness sakes. I want to see this route again. Like, okay, where? Right here. And it affects this. It affects this. It affects that. And then again, for my friends and neighbors that live in that stretch, okay, what happens to them? What do they get out of this? Do they have to move? Do they have to sell? What happens? I've got plenty of questions. If you do, go to the event. There you go. All right, over in Rome today. Oh, yes, they're having fun in Rome. All right, they've already had 2 votes this morning. Now, keep in mind, Rome is 6 hours ahead of us. So right now in Rome, it's after 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Heck, they may have had a third vote by now. We got these Catholic cardinals getting together, figure out, okay, who's the next pope going to be? And I'm watching this last evening, all right? Well, actually, I was more, not last evening, it was more like yesterday afternoon.
Cardinals are celebrating today, by the way.
They're what?
The Cardinals are celebrating.
Why?
They swept the Pirates. The Cardinals are all rejoicing at their
terribly sorry
victory over.
They were watching the game on TV and they're sequestered. No, they can't. They have no TV.
More on that to come.
So the actual Cardinals couldn't watch the Cardinals because they're sequestered. They're shut from the outside world. Sorry. They had two votes this morning, and once again, I mean, this is crazy. It's fun, but it's crazy. They install this skinny chimney up on the roof. And again, if somehow, I mean, this is all over the news, if somehow you're not familiar with this. You've got 133 guys, Cardinals, and their job is to pick a new pope. Great. Whoever the winner is has to get two-thirds of the vote, of all the votes. So, roughly speaking, that's like 90 votes. All right.
89 to be precise.
Oh, thank you. 80. Yeah. Very. I'm impressed.
They need the 89. Nice. Yes.
89. Okay. That's a lot of votes. And it's no great surprise here in the opening rounds. It's been swing and a miss.
I was greatly surprised.
Really?
What?
No, you weren't. All right. Give me a break. So, now we've mentioned the last two times they've done this, this gig has been over on day two. Well, today is day two. I don't think it's going to be over
today. It's all over.
I don't think that's going to happen. Now, I'm no Catholic. I'm Protestant. I'm no Catholic expert by any stretch.
I see all of the cardinals as the votes start to mount. It's all over.
Yeah.
We'll never see that. That's just, we're not to be, it's not to be for public consumption, but yes, that's what happens in there. Once
really?
They start to realize, they all start chanting, it's all over.
So they pull out the communion wine and, hey, baby, yeah. I don't think so.
No.
But that would be an interesting mental image.
Yes.
All right. Somebody
yes,
whip up something on social media using AI. Dancing cardinals and communion wine. It's all over.
We'll never know.
Oh, we just got in trouble with the church. Okay. So, they had this. The first vote was yesterday, and everybody and their uncle knew that they weren't going to have a choice in the first try. But I'm watching, you know, popping around, and I'm watching cable news, you know, channels, you know, late. Yeah, yesterday afternoon, and they have the close-ups of the chimney. All right, so you got a camera close-up of the chimney waiting for the smoke to come out. All right, if you watched this yesterday, I mean, it's remotely hilarious. You got a picture of a chimney.
It's like country music fans waiting at Willie Nelson's bus. They're just waiting for the smoke
to
come out.
Is that it? Okay. Huh? Woo, yeah. So you're sitting waiting for the smoke. Now I'm watching this, you know, couple of channels, and at one point this seagull lands on the roof.
A seagull?
A seagull lands on the roof, and he's right, I'm assuming it's a he, right behind the chimney.
Huh.
So they got a close-up of the chimney, and here's this bird, and he's just looking around like, hey, this is my time in the limelight, I suppose. I'm just going to stand here for a while. And he did. He stood there for like minutes. This bird is just standing there, just looking around, da-dee-da-da-dee-da-da-da, thinking, this is hilarious. And then finally, of course, the black smoke shows up. Oh, boo, hiss, boo. And apparently there's like, what was the number? 100,000 people in St. Peter's Square there in Vatican City. I mean, in other words, it's full of people, and they're all staring at a chimney. Folks, anybody else think this is a little nuts? All right, this is a little crazy. I mean, it's exciting and so on, but that's weird. So they showed up again this morning. They've had at least two votes. Last time I checked, both black smoke. Boo, hiss, boo. Allegedly, there could be two more votes today. Now, again, they had a lunch break, which would have been, I guess, a couple of hours ago, our time, because they're 6 hours ahead of us. So maybe during the break, I'll see if they've had a third vote and see if we have more black smoke. Two more votes today. I think they're going to go past today. We'll see if I'm right on that. I think they're going to do that. Anyway, also today is what used to be called VE Day. Now, in Europe, they still call it VE Day. Victory in Europe Day. 80 years ago, there's a special number, 80. 1945, Germany surrenders, ends World War II in Europe, at least. And this is still a big day in Europe, France, and Britain, and Germany, and some other places. They've got all sorts of, you know, I don't know, parades, festivities, you know, whatever. Okay, lots of things going on. So that is May 8th. And apparently, if I understand Donald Trump, he, you know, around here in our country, May 8th, I'm looking at our calendar. Now, I actually have a military-related calendar up here in our studio. So May 8th is noted on this calendar as VE Day. Most calendars could care less. All right? It's like, it's May 8th. That's all it is.
Why don't the calendars care anymore?
Apparently, if Mr. Trump has his way, he wants to make May 8th a day again. Now, hopefully not yet another federal holiday where federal employees get a day off.
Oh, finally.
No,
we'll get a day off. For no?
No.
Well, it'd be nice to have
you
them
about us?
Get a day off where they can just kick back and relax.
Yeah, like they don't have a whole long list of other days like that.
Huh, I hadn't noticed.
So he wants to make May 8th like an official day again. And I think he wants, what's he want to call it? World War II in America Day or something like that. Now, okay, fine. Maybe we should be marking this. Now, why did we stop? I don't know. Now, again, you know, December 7th used to be a big day on the calendar.
Yeah.
Right? Pearl Harbor Day. I mean, we do, unless you're in Hawaii or maybe on a military base, we don't do anything with Pearl Harbor Day anymore. Like Zippo. Nothing. I don't know. Maybe they should do something there. Now, granted, Japan's our very good friend now. They weren't 80 years ago, but they are now. Is that the reason? I don't know. The one thing I'm not a fan of.
No.
All right. Veterans Day is November 11th, and we've had Veterans Day for a long, long, long time. Now, over in Europe, November 11th is Armistice Day. And that was the day, the last day of fighting in World War I, going back to 1918. And it's interesting, in Europe, Armistice Day is still a very big deal over there. England, France, not sure about Germany, but those two countries in particular, and probably some of the smaller European countries, Armistice Day is still Remembrance Day is still a big day for them. Over here, a number of years ago, we started calling it Veterans Day. And it's supposed to be a day to honor veterans, not Memorial Day. All right, Memorial Day is about memorials, remembering those who gave their lives to defend our country. Bullsburg, of course, Memorial Day, all that stuff. Veterans Day is about people here living. You're supposed to honor veterans. Trump wants to change it to World War I in America Day. And I'm thinking, no, 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 no. All right, am I the only one? Sometimes you got to stand up to this fellow. I'm like, okay, no, that's a bad idea. You know, the Canada 51st state, bad idea. Hey, we're going to take over the Panama Canal. No, bad idea. Oh, we're gonna buy Greenland. Bad idea. All right. Mount McKinley, bad idea. All right. And then this one, World War I in America Day, November 11th. I'm like, no, could we just leave it as Veterans Day? So that we can honor all of our veterans. Now, folks, maybe you disagree with that, all right? And we got to take a break here, take our sports segment, and then we have a lot of guests. Later on, if you want to call in, like, no, no, I agree with Trump, we should do that. Fine, call in later. We need some Republicans to stand up to say, no, this is a bad idea. Just leave it alone. Veterans Day. We honor all of our veterans. We'll see what happens. All right. There we go. So happy VE Day, I guess. So that is also today. So, folks, we got a lot of things going on here. Holy fright. Right now, we're going to take a break. We've had actual good weather, so we have actual sports.
Yay! Hey,
hallelujah.
Look at that.
We'll see how long it lasts.
Yeah.
You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go away. A busy show continues right after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Belfont cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg and at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Bellefonte Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a sock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BelfontCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BelfontCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Bellefonte Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
This year's Penn State Board of Trustees election is about transparency and competence. And Pat Romano is asking for your alumni vote. Pat is a successful local business owner from Phillipsburg and a leader on the World Campus Alumni Board who believes in lowering student tuition, saving Commonwealth campuses, improving the Penn State student experience, and in honoring Joe and Sue Paterno by returning the Joe Paterno statue. Number 3 on your alumni ballot, Pat Romano will focus on Penn State's future and enough of the nonsense. This spring, vote for Pat Romano for the Penn State Board of Trustees.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 for Kubota. I have a Z200, 25 horsepower, with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Now a fraternity or sorority is a brotherhood or sisterhood formed around common goals and aspirations. These men and women make a commitment to each other for life. Members that form a fraternity or sorority share their efforts, friendship, and knowledge, but they should never, ever look the same. That's why there's PAMP, printing and more printing. All kinds of t-shirts for all of your group's events, with the artwork as wild as... artwork as visually stimulating as your mind's eye sees it.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It is a beautiful looking Thursday morning we have in play here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This is Let's Talk with Jeff Byers and Scott Giese. That's me and this
that'd
guy.
Be me.
We're just hanging out in the studio. That's what we like to do, you know, from 8 to 10 weekday mornings. We'll have some open phone time here in a bit. You may be wondering if you stepped outside, you may have noticed, boy, the air just smells a little fresher. Life just seems a little better. Folks, there's no Pirates baseball to worry about today. You have a day off from the misery that is.
And my Orioles.
Pirates baseball here in 2025. The watch is on. Is this the day they get rid of their general manager and manager? Pretty good hunch that it may very well be.
Wow.
But
both of them?
We'll stay tuned for that. And what they really need to do is get rid of the owner. You just can't do that for some reason.
Good luck with that.
It's very frustrating. All right, we've got lots to get into, including some Steelers news here in just a bit. Let's start with the 11th-seeded Penn State softball team knocking off 6th-seeded Iowa in the opening round of the Big Ten Championships yesterday, 6-2. Michaela Barbanente and Megan Ricks each hit home runs. Maddie Volpe and Abigail Britton combined to hold Iowa to 2 runs on 5 hits. And the Nittany Lions advanced to the quarterfinals today. Penn State will now face third-seeded Nebraska. That game will get underway at 11 o'clock Eastern time this morning in West Lafayette, Indiana. The winner, my understanding is, the way this is going to work this year, is if you win the quarterfinals, you move on to the semifinals. That's the way they're doing it. That's my understanding.
You're sure?
Pretty confident on this one. I researched it pretty thoroughly yesterday. Right. In the other games yesterday, Indiana took out Washington 2-0. Michigan slipped past Wisconsin 3-2. Wisconsin, what are you doing? You don't let Michigan win in anything. Host Purdue upset Northwestern 4-2. That is a bad loss for Northwestern, and it is put into real doubt Northwestern's chances now of making the NCAA tournament. That may have been a make-or-break game. We'll just have to wait and see. Looking at high school action from yesterday. State College baseball team pulling out a big 7-5 win in 8 innings at Central Dauphin yesterday. Sebastian Rhodes drove in the winning runs with a 2-run single in the top of the 8th. Rhodes finished the day going 3-for-4 with 3 RBI. Kellen Williams and Cam Mochtinger each drove in a pair of runs for State High. The Little Lions improving to 9-10 on the season. State High will visit Easton today at 4 o'clock. Bald Eagle area baseball team was shut out by Somerset yesterday 6-0. The Eagles fall to 4-13 on the year. Bald Eagle area will visit Bishop Guilfoyle this afternoon at 4:30. The Phillipsburg Osceola baseball team will be home this afternoon with Central and with Central Cambria, I should say. That game will get underway at 4:30. The Mounties come in with a record of 11-4 on the season. Penns Valley baseball team will host Tyrone in its final home game of the season this afternoon, also a 4:30 start. State College softball team losing a heartbreaker in the first of a doubleheader against Central Dauphin yesterday 6-5 and then falling 5-0 in the second game. In the first game, which actually was, they resumed the game from an earlier date. They resumed it with 2 outs in the bottom of the first. So Central Dauphin was the home team, even though the game was at State College. State High actually took the lead in the top of the 7th on a Jess Haubaker RBI double, but alas, Central Dauphin scored twice in the bottom of the inning and pulled out the 6-5 victory. And then Central Dauphin really in control in game 2, winning 5-0. State High now 10-7 on the season. State College will visit Dubois tomorrow afternoon. Bald Eagle area softball team clobbered Somerset 16-0 yesterday. Maley Yoder and Rayleigh Rapaski each drove in 3 runs for the Lady Eagles. Sierra Albright tossed a complete game 2-hitter with 11 strikeouts and no walks. Bald Eagle area is now 12-3 on the season, and the Lady Eagles will be at Bishop Guilfoyle today at 4:30. The Bellefonte softball team is 12-2 and will visit Dubois this afternoon at 4 o'clock. The Penns Valley softball team will visit Tyrone at 4:30 today. The Lady Rams are 6-5 on the year, and the Phillipsburg Osceola softball team is now 9-5 in the season and will visit Huntingdon this afternoon at 4 o'clock. The St. Louis Cardinals completed a 3-game sweep of the Pittsburgh Pirates with a 5-0 win in a game that unfortunately you could have listened to, and many of you probably did, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. If you did, as I did, between pitches at State College's community fields yesterday, the frustration level just continues to grow. How, you may be asking, is it possible that a Major League Baseball, and that's what the Pirates, you know, purportedly are supposed to be fielding, is a Major League Baseball team, How could a Major League Baseball offense be this putrid? That is a fair question. They have a really good starting pitching staff, led by maybe the best pitcher of this generation, off to that type of a start anyway, in Paul Skenes. And they are giving that pitching staff no run support and very little support in the bullpen. Embarrassing. Probably there will be some fall guys. Probably the general manager and the manager. We were on a text thread last night. A lot of my buddies think today is the day. Will not be at all surprised. Pirates have now lost 7 in a row. And they just somehow, you're like, well, this has got to be the low point. They can't get any more putrid than this. 4 hits yesterday. The Cardinals are a bad baseball team as well. Let the record clearly state. And St. Louis, again, sweeps the series. It is awful. And they can change the general manager and the manager, and maybe it gives a boost for the moment, and somehow things change in the short term. The Pirates need new ownership, and they need to figure out a way. I'm starting to believe some of this is intentional now, and that the Pirates may be looking to move out of Pittsburgh, and so they're not wanting to. It's a mess, and it is extremely frustrating if you are a Pirates fan, as unfortunately I am. Again, the good news: no baseball today for the Pirates. Philadelphia Phillies, meanwhile, shut out the Rays in Tampa 7-0 yesterday. All right, some other news. Class of 2025 basketball guard Reggie Grodin has announced his commitment to the Nittany Lion basketball program. Grodin is from Larchmont, New York, and played his high school basketball at the Newman School in Boston. He averaged 10 points, 3.9 rebounds, and 2.3 assists per game in 40 games with the Newman School. He joins Penn State's 2025 recruiting class. He had originally intended to play at Fordham this coming November, but renounced that commitment and now has committed to the Nittany Lions. According to reports, he also had offers from Cornell, Colgate, George Washington, and Stony Brook, among others. Penn State men's basketball, according to basketball insider Jeff Goodman, is hiring former Rice head coach Scott Pira as the team's general manager. Pira spent 3 years as an assistant coach for Mike Rhodes before he was promoted to head coach with the Owls. He was in that role for 7 years and went 96-127 with Rice. He did lead Rice to 2 winning seasons and was fired following the 23-24 season. Pira is a graduate of Penn State Harrisburg and also had coaching stops at Elizabethtown College, Arizona State, and the University of Pennsylvania. He also had multiple high school coaching roles, including being James Harden's head coach at Artesia High School. Some women's volleyball news. Penn State adding another member to its 2025 recruiting class, and it's another transfer portal get. Florida transfer Kennedy Martin. This is a big one. She was a 2024 first team All-American. She has announced that she is heading to Penn State. She did this via her Instagram yesterday morning. She will be a junior, so 2 years of eligibility remaining. A 6'6" outside hitter. She led the nation in points per set last year with a 6.28 average, and also averaged 5.57 kills per set. Martin was a 2-time All-SEC and All-American selection while playing for the Gators. She was also a National Player of the Year semifinalist a year ago. And that gives Penn State 4 transfer portal gets. She joins Ohio State's Emmy Selman and St. Louis's Addie Lyon. And, third player from the transfer portal for Penn State, along with 5 freshmen who will be joining the team next year. Again, Martin with 2 years of eligibility remaining. And the Pittsburgh Steelers did pull the trigger on a trade with the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, your favorite team.
Yesterday. Yeah. The Cowboys get a very talented wide receiver. I don't think anybody anywhere disputes George Pickens has really elite talent. He also has been a headache, I think we could say, for the coaching staff and the locker room. I was listening to a couple of different podcasts on this, and I'm not sure I realized, I knew he was a problem child. I mean, that is very well known. I'm not sure I realized the extent to which the one podcaster was talking with an NFL sideline reporter, and I should have jotted all this down. I'm not sure even who the reporter was, but she was a CBS sideline reporter, so did a lot of Steelers games past couple of years. she said that she has never seen a player demand more attention on the sideline than George Pickens, where coaches, other players had to be either calming him down or assuring him that he was going to get his touches later in the game. She said she's never seen anything like it. Her take was this is an absolute steal for the Steelers, she could not believe that a third round draft pick was given to Pittsburgh. And she said it has nothing to do with his talent. It is everything to do with the locker room. And she is convinced that the Cowboys will be a mess, because he is going to destroy anything that they have going with CeeDee Lamb, which they have quite a bit going with CeeDee Lamb. So we'll keep an eye on it. The Steelers get a third and a fifth round pick in exchange for Pickens and a sixth round draft choice going to the Dallas Cowboys. We'll just wait and see how it all works out or doesn't work out for both teams. I initially was not I'm okay with them getting rid, and they've got to do some things on the salary cap front. So with what they have in place now, I think this is okay, because I did not see DK Metcalf, George Pickens, and Aaron Rodgers, and Rodgers still has not made a decision, but it was hard for me to see how that threesome was going to get through the season without any issues. And that, boy, this is just, and I mean, possible, I guess, but I think this ultimately probably is going to be looked at as a very good thing for the Steelers. Now, what will be interesting is can Pickens kind of keep himself under control to get himself the next big contract? Because if he continues to, due to his reputation in Dallas, what he did in Pittsburgh, he may cost himself many millions of dollars on the open market. But we'll, again, just wait and see how it all plays out.
Interesting. All right. I caught one ESPN expert yesterday, gave the Cowboys a B- on this trade, and gave the Steelers a B+ on the trade.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'll have to look up. I don't know who the sideline reporter was. I was just, but again, she was on the sidelines for a bunch of the Steelers games, and her take was that this is an absolute steal. She's like, the Steelers, they robbed the Cowboys. And I'm like, really? With a third round pick for a guy? But she said that, like, she doesn't think people even are truly understanding just how much of a problem child George Pickens has been.
There's more to this than how fast are you, how high can you jump.
For sure.
You know, how strong are you? You know, it's there's more to this. There's the between the ears part.
Yeah.
And, you know, before the draft, there were stories about these teams. They sit down with these draftees to figure out, okay, what's the between the ears part with you? So Shedeur Sanders, woo, down he went. And allegedly a lot of that was sort of between the ears part.
Yeah.
And not intelligence or anything, but more about personality.
Yeah.
Are you a troublemaker? Are you entitled? You know, all that stuff. And George Pickens kind of falls in that realm. He does. So they did get DK Metcalf. All right, that's good. Now, who's the other decent receiver going to be? Roman Wilson? Somebody else? I don't know. And, of course, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron, where are you, buddy? Where are you hanging out, bud? All right, NFL draft's over. Anyway, all right. Two quick things. Number one, did you State College Baseball has to go to Easton?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Get up on 80 and just start driving.
Baby, go.
Man, that's a road trip. That's virtually out of state.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. And very quick, a few months ago, we had some fun with this. All right. National Hockey League. There's a new team in Utah, and they're trying to find a name.
Yeah.
And they couldn't find a name. So for this year, they're known as the Utah Hockey Club until they come up with a name. Well, we gave them a great name.
Yeah.
We even emailed it to them. We said, you know, Utah is the Beehive State. That's what their state is called. The Utah Sting would be a great name.
Would have been perfect.
And so yesterday they make the big announcement that the team now will be called the Utah Mammoth.
Yeah.
That's a resounding thud for me. That's the best they could come up
with. The thud of a mammoth is what that thud
Utah
is.
Utah Mammoth.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's awful, but I don't think it's great.
I think it's awful.
I don't think it's awful.
Now, are they the mammoths or the mammoth?
That's the thing. They are, it is singular. They are mammoth.
Mammoth.
Yes.
Okay.
Like the Stanford Cardinal. Now, that's the color, which I don't, but anyways, yes, they are the mammoth.
The mammoth.
No S.
Okay.
At the end of mammoth.
That's exciting. Wow. I can't wait to see what they do for the branding on Mammoth. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, I don't think it was great.
That's the best.
I had higher hopes.
I mean, folks in Utah have no imagination. I don't want to be insulting, but this is round two and they didn't get it right. One man's opinion. Anyway, let's take a break.
All right.
It's just crazy stuff. All right, folks, stay tuned. We got a lot of guests, interesting topics, including that 9 o'clock topic. Oh, I hate to bring this up, but we have to. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come back after this.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, the Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Belfont cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a stock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BelfontCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BelfontCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
17th.
Join the Nittany Knights as they perform Just Sing, 7 p.m. May 17th at the State Theater in downtown State College. This year's spring show will feature 2024 International Barbershop Harmony Society Gold Medal winners, Three and a Half Men, along with choirs from State College High School and Mountain Indian Park Forest Middle Schools. Tickets $30 for adults, $20 for children 15 and under. Get your tickets today at nittanynights.org. Just Sing, May 17th, 7 p.m. at the State Theater. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Ready to relax in style? Clearwater Swimming Pool Company is giving you the chance to win a walk-in 735L hot tub by Hot Springs at this year's Bellefonte Cruise on June 13th and 14th. This six-person luxury spa is built for the ultimate backyard escape. Loaded with powerful jets for a full-body massage experience, LED mood lighting for the perfect ambience, energy-efficient technology that saves money while keeping the water warm, and the trusted quality of Hot Springs Spas, the leader in comfort and innovation. Entering is easy. Stop by Clearwater Pool and Spa in Center Hall now, or visit our booth at the Bellefonte Cruise on June 13th and 14th to sign up. Don't miss your chance to bring home this incredible Watkin 735L hot tub from Hot Springs. Check us out online at groupclearwater.com or visit our Center Hall location to view our full lineup of Hot Springs spas. And while you're there, be sure to ask about our lineup of Imagine Pools and Ocean Reef fiberglass pools. Make a splash this summer with Clearwater Swimming Pool Company and the Bellefonte Cruise.
As you look out onto your yard or acreage, you know it's coming. Lots of work and time. You may be excited about it because you have a Kubota from Daughter Equipment, which actually makes chores fun and frees up your time for other things. Or maybe you're looking at the lawn and acreage with a scowl because you don't even know if your lawn and garden equipment will even start. You need to get to Daughter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 for Kubota and the answers. If it's your first tractor, it's hard to decide how much horsepower you're looking for, what implements you'll need. Whether you're gardening or landscaping and keeping up with property maintenance, just being behind the wheel of a Kubota makes you appreciate the Kubota Compact Tractor for its simplicity and ease. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox Sports.
It is a Thursday edition of Let's Talk. Yep, we went ahead and scheduled the Thursday edition, if you've been following along closely, right between our Wednesday edition, which we did yesterday. Well, Scott did
yesterday.
Well,
I did. You didn't.
And our Friday edition, which this week we have scheduled for tomorrow. So if you're trying to keep track of it all, again, this is the Thursday edition, and we're going to follow it with our Friday edition tomorrow.
Folks, I have no idea.
Huh?
We have two guests here, and they're looking at you like
I'm just trying to let people keep up to date with how we're scheduling this stuff.
All right, now stay tuned. Again, we got the bad news coming up after 9 o'clock. All right, some of you are not going to like this. Let's start with the good news, all right? One of our fine sponsors, our friends from the Nittany Knights, their big event is next weekend, not this weekend. There's that graduation stuff. Get that out of the way. All right. Next weekend at the State Theater in downtown State College. And we're joined by our friend Paul Wagner, the president of the Nittany Knights, and new director Tricia Andraccio. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Tricia?
Look
okay,
at that.
Here we go.
Showing off his pronunciation.
Wow. Thank you very
well
much. Now, I've got some fun questions for Tricia, but let me start with Paul here first, all right? You guys ready to go? I mean, you're just a little bit over a week till the big night.
We are ready to go. Trish has us whipped into shape. but, yeah, we're working on a few details now with our music. And then behind the scenes stuff is always interesting because we've got schedules and scripts and all kinds of show details and stuff to send out and announcements and email blasts and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that's sort of what lands in my lap, most of it anyway. So,
right.
But yeah, we are ready to go. This is going to be a fantastic show.
Now, for folks who aren't familiar, who are the Nittany Knights? Give us a little, you know, the who are you and history lesson and so on.
So the Nittany Knights are a barbershop chorus, a cappella barbershop chorus, that our chapter was formed in State College in 1962, at that time mostly from guys that worked for HRB Singer, which has gone through a number of iterations since that time.
That is for sure.
And we have one of those gentlemen, our last charter member of that chorus, just passed away within the last year. But we've got now about 25 guys, and we have, we perform around the community. We do, various, festivals and community events and nursing homes and things. And we do this, biggest show that we do all year is at the State Theater, and it's our kind of our annual spring show where we invite a top level, competition quartet from our international society. And this year we have a quartet called Three and a Half Men, which just won gold medal last year. So they're a top-notch quartet, and we're really looking forward to singing with them and hearing them.
One of the most fun things must be naming, when you're forming these groups, must be naming some of the names over the years that we've heard. That just has to be... Part of the fun of this is when folks are getting together and creating a group. So, all right, let's come up with the name. That must be. Do you guys just kind of sit around and marvel and try to top one another with the names? Because it's amazing how clever. Well, and Three and a Half Men is pretty darn clever.
It is. We've had some quartets in the society called, one of them was called Frank the Dog. One of them was called Faces for Radio.
Ah!
Oh.
See? There's
and,
our home.
My favorite was one called Gopher Baroque.
I love it. That is fantastic.
The quartet I sing in currently is called Keep the Change.
Now, Three and a Half Men, there's three and a half men? I mean, what is that? Where are these guys from?
They're from Florida, actually. Okay. I think all four of them. I mean, a lot of these top quartets come from all over the country, and they fly to get together to rehearse.
Yeah.
Of course, they learn everything on their own before they get together, so they're just basically tweaking stuff when they get together. But we bring them in from wherever they are. So the cost of the quartet is about half the cost of the whole show, basically.
Yeah.
All right. Now, also, you're going to have some youth singers, some special youth singers. Who are they?
We are. So over the last, I don't know how many years, 8, 9, 10 years, we have worked with local schools. And in fact, we were privileged to work with the Mount Nittany Clefhangers, directed by Scott's daughter, Allison, for several years in a row. And we give them a song to learn, and then they come on our show, and they sing several of their own, and then they sing the one that we've given them, and then they sing with us kind of in a closing number. And we do a workshop for the kids on the afternoon of the show with our guest quartet, many of whom are music educators. This year, we're doing something a lot more ambitious than that. We received a grant from the Barbershop Harmony Foundation, and to bring in, first of all, this top-notch quartet, but they're coming a day early. They're going to do an all-day workshop at the State College High School for the kids, and that's going to include Mount Nittany Middle School, Park Forest Middle School, and the high school choirs. And then that group will perform on our show. That's going to be our closing number along with the Nittany Knights. So we'll have about 80 people on stage for the last closing number for the show.
That's fantastic.
Cool. Thanks for the free plug for my kid.
All right.
She is now the choral director at Parkland High School in Allentown. And I tell you what, for future concerts, if you're looking for another group, drop her a line. She's doing some pretty cool stuff over there. She's doing some great stuff.
That could be interesting. Yeah, she doesn't need any plugs. She's just delightful to work with.
Thank you. All right, let's get Tricia in here. And I joked during the break, Tricia, you're the new director of this group. And I said, did you lose a bet or something? You're doing an all-male group. You're the first female director of this group. Well, first off, tell us something about yourself, where you're from and your background and so on.
So I'm originally from Long Island, if you can't tell by my accent. And my husband joined the Nittany Knights back about 5 years ago. And he's been singing with them, you know, every Monday night. And occasionally I would show up at rehearsal and help out, do some accompanying and help the guys learn their parts. And when the previous director bowed out, I just kind of stepped in.
Very cool. How did you end up here in Happy Valley?
That's a great question. we owned the Reynolds Mansion Bed and Breakfast in Bellefonte. So before we moved to Central PA, my husband was a police officer in New York, and he retired, and I was a school teacher. And so we thought, well, we'll kind of get out of Dodge, and Pennsylvania was nearby. We didn't want to be too far from our daughter, who was attending NYU at the time. So we made a four-hour circle around New York City and said, all right, we don't want to go 4 hours further than where she is, and found the bed and breakfast for sale and started running that 14 years ago.
Love it. Oh, here to New York, that would be about 4 hours, mm-hmm. right? On 80 and so on.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've directed before?
Yes. I was a choral director on Long Island, and I currently also have the Victorian Christmas Choir in Bellefonte. Mm. So every year we just do rehearsals from September to December and put on a show for the Victorian Christmas Choir opening ceremonies. So that's really a part-time very part-time job. This is all year, the Nittany Knights.
So now you're directing a bunch of curmudgeons. What is that like? That must be fun.
It's definitely challenging, to say the least. It's funny, the difference between directing the Victorian Christmas Choir, which is a combination of male and female voices, and then going to just the guys in the Nittany Knights, it is definitely different. I'm going to just leave it at that.
Okay. That's a wise move. So, now, for either one of you, all right, now, I was honored to be your MC the last couple of years. This time, somebody else is, you know, you guys got this grant money, so some special person who's apparently from Hollywood or something is coming in, so, or whatever. Okay, fine. The age group, like, who's the oldest? Maybe, don't name names unless you want to. The oldest, and do you still have some Penn State students? I think they're a part of the group, Paul.
We do. So our oldest right now, he's about 84. And our youngest is 15.
Oh,
no kidding.
Yeah, but we have a number of Penn State students as well, and we have some guys there in their 20s and 30s, and so we're fortunate. A lot of the smaller choruses, and I guess I've been corrected in the past, our chorus is no longer a smaller chorus. They consider us one of the bigger choruses. But a lot of them just don't get the young people, and we've been really fortunate. I mean, we try everything we can do to recruit. Yeah. And we've been pretty fortunate in some of the people we get. And oftentimes, the good thing is that when these young guys come in, they read music, they know how to sing, they can plug right in. And even though they're busy with their schooling, sometimes they can't be there all the time, when they do show up, they know the music, they just plug right in, so they're a lot of fun. And one of our guys who was in Allison's class, actually, Thomas Delahoy, when we worked with that group, I think he was 11 or 12, And he is now going into his senior year at Penn State in vocal music performance, going into opera, it sounds like. He's he joined our chorus when he was 15, and he also sings in my quartet, but just an absolutely fantastic lead singer, and we're just delighted to have him. But that's some of the fruits of our working with the youth.
Yeah.
When we get people like that.
Very cool. All right. Before we let you go, we need some particulars. When, where, what time, how do you get tickets about the concert next weekend?
So the show is Saturday, May the 17th at the State Theater. For tickets, you can go to the State Theater website, which is thestatetheater.org. Theater is T-H-E-A-T-R-E. And click on the tab that says local. You can find us that way, or you can also find us through their calendar. And you may actually find it as one of the headliners when we're this close to the show. I'm not sure, but anyway, one way or the other, you'll be able to find us. The seating are all reserved. Tickets are $30. That includes the ticketing fee, and for children 15 and under, it's $20. But you should go on there, select your seat from their seat map, and that's the best way at this point, buy tickets.
Now also, you guys have your own website.
We do. Yep, nittanynights.org. So there's also a link to buying tickets there. In fact, that link would take you directly to the Nittany Nights show ticketing page.
Okay, so you can go either direction. Yep. 7 o'clock next Saturday night. No dress code, just come as you are. You guys always have these really slick-looking... Yeah, Trisha's smiling. Slick-looking outfits, which is pretty cool.
We have new ones this year.
Oh, we got new. Okay.
We have new ones to debut, yeah.
All right. Well, folks, good luck. I plan to attend. So, Trisha, again, good luck.
Thank you.
A group of curmudgeons again.
No, I guess we don't have time. I had a couple of other questions. They just say who was the most difficult to work with, who's the least talented. We don't have time. Never mind.
No, let's leave those
just
alone.
Screwing around.
This is a fun event, and it sounds like I got to find out 3.5 men. I got to figure out who the half guy is.
Might vary night to night, is my guess.
We could go in wrong directions on that one, but we're not going to do that. All right. No. Folks, thanks for coming in, and
thank
good luck.
You very much.
Break a leg next
week.
Thank you very much.
Right. Appreciate the time.
All right. We're going to take a break right here. Now, again, we're going to come back and share the bad news. That was the good news. The concert is really cool next Saturday.
Yeah, those are good sounds. Right. Those are going to be
those are good sounds
to hear.
Now, when we come back, we're going to have to hear about the bad sounds.
I don't want to hear these
other
sounds.
Things. Let's Talk will continue right after this.
From State College, Lock Haven, and Bellefonte, Central PA Sports Authority, Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during the Bellefonte Cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Bellefonte. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg and at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Bellefonte Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a stock-up, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BellefonteCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BellefonteCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Bellefonte Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
This year's Penn State Board of Trustees election is about transparency and competence. And Pat Romano is asking for your alumni vote. Pat is a successful local business owner from Phillipsburg and a leader on the World Campus Alumni Board who believes in lowering student tuition, saving Commonwealth campuses, improving the Penn State student experience, and in honoring Joe and Sue Paterno by returning the Joe Paterno statue. Number 3 on your alumni ballot, Pat Romano will focus on Penn State's future and enough of the nonsense. This spring, vote for Pat Romano for the Penn State Board of Trustees.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome to XYZ Printing.
My son's soccer team is looking for new jerseys.
Well, I can do that.
Something in green with white lettering.
No problem at all. Right here in this box.
Those are white shirts.
Not for long.
Just because someone says they make custom t-shirts doesn't mean they're from Panth.
What's the name of Yoon's team up there?
The Tigers.
Is that with one G or two?
For quality you can see and wear. Remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Your sports radio!
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox College.
They're coming out. It is Let's Talk here on a Thursday morning edition. Jeff and Scott with you. We will have some open phone time coming up toward the end of this morning's program.
For folks who aren't familiar, what's that bumper you did?
That would be I'm Coming Out.
I'm Coming
One
Out.
One Diana Ross.
Okay, perfect. Timing. All right, let's go for the bet. Well, first, let's welcome our guest, who we've had on the show before, but in person this time, Dr. Michael Skvarla of Penn State. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
All right. We'll get to the bad news in a moment. All right, first off, it's been a while since we had you on the show talking about insects and things. Let's get some background. Tell us about yourself. What's your background? What do you do at Penn State and so on?
Sure. I am an assistant research professor at Penn State in the Department of Entomology, and I run the insect identification lab. So if anybody in the public finds a bug, finds an insect that they want to know what it is, if they send that to the department, all of those get filtered down to me, so I deal with all of the public requests for insect ID.
So how do people do that exactly? If I find a bug in my yard today, like, what the heck is this? How do I do that?
Sure. About 90% of what comes in is via email. So cell phones honestly have really good cameras anymore. And even for blurry things, I can usually tell what it is because there's only maybe 150 insects people regularly see, especially in their homes and their gardens. And so even with blurry stuff, I can usually tell what it is. So you take a picture with your phone. Send it to me via an email. Include some information like where you are, where you found it. That can help. And I will tell you what it is. And if that doesn't work, if I need to see it in person, then I can send instructions on how to send the physical specimen through the mail to the lab so I can look at it under a microscope.
All right. Where do they email? I'm assuming there's a certain website or address?
The web address is long, so if you just Google Penn State Insect ID, Penn State, my last name, I'm the only Skvarla at Penn State, as you can imagine, the instructions will come up. They're the first hit on Google or whatever search engine you're using. You can also send it to my personal email if you find that, or my work email if you find that.
All right.
Your last name, by the way, is S-K-V-A-R-L-A. Skvarla.
Yep.
All right. Are you like a Viking or something? Or,
It's Czech.
Czech. Oh, okay. All right. I don't know. It just sounds like a Viking. Who knows? All right. A few weeks ago, I'm just, you know, I follow news. I'm doing stuff. I come across this story. I'm looking at a map, and I'm thinking, oh, no, 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 no. Cicadas. Okay. Now, for let's start from scratch. For folks who don't know, what is a cicada?
So if you hear the kind of buzzing sound in afternoon, late afternoon, towards evening, but not at night, typically later in the summer, you know, late June, July, especially in August, the dog days of summer, those are typically cicadas calling. Those are annual cicadas, so those are the species. We have about 15 in Pennsylvania that come out every year. They're here every summer, so you always hear that kind of trilling in the afternoon and the early evening. But what is coming this year, people may remember it because of Brood 10 a couple years ago, are periodical cicadas. So unlike the annual cicadas, periodical cicadas come out either every 13 or 17 years, depending on the species. And they'll come out in these big mass emergences. So you'll get millions, billions of cicadas across an area. So this year is Brood 14. This is the second largest in terms of geographic area. There's going to be emergences here in Pennsylvania, but also further south, a little bit further east into Kentucky. If listeners remember Brood 10, it came out in the southeastern portion of the state 4 years ago. This is going to be similar, except instead of down there, it's going to be up here in kind of the central portion of the state.
So we're ground zero for this.
Yes, although we maybe want to temper people's expectations.
I'm okay with the expectations being tempered.
So I wasn't here 17 years ago. I was, oh gosh, in high school?
You were younger.
Yeah. Not here. So I don't have like memories of what it was like here. But from talking to people, the periodical cicadas here are going to be pretty patchy. So you'll get patches where there will be a bunch. But you'll also, you know, if you were to outline the area where they're going to be, they're not going to be everywhere in that area. You'll get them here, you'll get them there, you'll get them in certain areas, but it's not going to be like this blanket emergence of cicadas across all of central Pennsylvania.
All right. Well, there's a little good news, I hope. For folks who aren't familiar, describe a cicada. I mean, how big is it? Big red eyes? Like, ugh. Like, tell me about this thing.
Yeah, so periodical cicadas are smaller than the annual cicadas. So if you've seen like green and black cicadas, they are green and black. They have these clear wings that are kind of tent-like over the abdomen. Periodical cicadas are a little bit smaller, but they're still pretty big for insects. They're about the size of your thumb, and they are black. They have these bright red eyes. They'll have some orange kind of on the black body, and then they'll have clear to orangish clear wings held over the body.
All right. Now, here's the part of this I've never understood. Where are they? Where have they been for 17 years? What's the deal with
that? They've been
that?
Here. They've been underground. So cicada nymphs, all of them, the periodicals, the annuals, all of them, they feed on plant sap from plant roots, typically tree roots. So they're down 2, 3, 4 feet underground, feeding on that sap from those tree roots. And so they're deep enough. Most people aren't digging directly under trees, so they don't see them. And most people, if you're digging a garden, aren't digging down that deep. You know, most people are working in the top 6 to 12 inches of the soil, so they're deeper than most people are digging. So they've been here for the last 17 years, just most people aren't looking where they're at.
Okay. Because, let's see, this is May. A couple of months ago, now I live out in a rural area, I'm from Penns Valley, and I've got 12 acres, and we had a relative who lost a pet. All right, and they didn't want to just throw away the pet. They wanted the pet to be buried. And we have sort of a spot on our property where it's not a pet cemetery. That sounds bizarre, but you get the idea. So I had to dig a hole.
Mm-hmm.
And what I didn't see anything. I mean, this is a pretty deep hole. I didn't see any, I don't know, bugs or what would I have seen if I would have encountered cicadas?
So the cicada nymphs, the ones that are down underground, they look like the adults, but they don't have wings, and they're a tannish to brown color, and they've got these forelegs that are spiny because they use them for digging through the soil. They're called fossorial for digging. If you've ever seen the cicada shells that get on the side of trees, that's what the cicada nymphs look like. In the places where the periodicals are coming out this year, those shells are going to be all over because the cicadas are going to be all over.
Ugh. Okay, when is this expected to happen?
Soon.
Okay.
It depends on soil temperatures. So the soil has to reach 65 degrees. And so further south, they're starting to see emergences. So in northern Georgia, southern Virginia, I just saw today there were some adults seen in northern Virginia. So they're coming. It's kind of the emergence is moving north. We'll probably see them here in a week to maybe 10 days. If it cools off a little bit, it might be a little slower. But sometime in very soon, week 10 days maybe.
All right. So these suckers come out of the ground and then do what exactly?
Mate and die.
That fast?
So they live for, the adults will live for 3 to 4 weeks. They don't typically feed very much. They might take a little bit of sap, but they're not feeding, basically. They come out, the males sing, they attract a female, they mate, the females lay eggs, they die. I had a colleague, maybe this would be good for radio, I had a colleague, because these are 17-year cicadas, that said they're like horny teenagers that come out and scream in the trees and have sex and then die.
Okay. There we go.
I don't know if we can say that on live radio, but there you go.
You're fine, actually. So they don't cause damage? I thought they, chewed plants or something.
So they don't chew plants. The nymphs underground, because they're feeding so slowly, it takes 17 years for them to grow full size. They're not feeding very much at any given time, so the trees can withstand it easily. So they don't do damage underground. The one time they do a little bit of damage is female cicadas lay their eggs in twigs. They'll cut a small slit, lay their eggs in there, and when trees get enough damage on these small twigs, the twigs will die. So you'll see what's called flagging. You'll have a perfectly healthy tree and then patches of like little dead leaves. But they only lay their eggs in deciduous trees, the trees that lose their leaves. And if it's a healthy, big tree, the damage is minimal, and the trees recover quickly. They're used to losing twigs, losing leaves, that kind of thing. It doesn't do much. The one exception is if you have like a newly transplanted tree. So if a tree that is small and stressed out because you just plopped it in the ground, if it gets enough cicada damage, it can die. And so the advice is just don't plant trees if you're living in an area where there's cicadas coming out this year. And if you do, maybe put a net over them for the next 4 weeks until the cicadas are gone. That's really the only damage they can do. It's not very specific and fairly minimal.
Are we aware, is there a benefit to cicadas? Do they have a role in our overall ecosystem?
Sure. So periodical cicadas all mass emerge because it's a predator avoidance strategy. It's like zebras on the Serengeti. If you're one in a million, you have a much lower chance of being eaten. So they all come out, mate, and lay eggs all at the same time. And the predators that eat them, things like turkeys and other birds and squirrels and small mammals like mice, they get stuffed. They physically can't eat more cicadas. And so the ones that are left, the millions that are left, can mate and lay eggs just fine. Huh. And so the animals that can eat them do really, really well. Birds will typically, they won't lose nestlings because they have so much food. It's like an abundance of food. They do, raising babies is really good for the animals that can eat the cicadas this time of year.
So people come in for Penn State football games, they stay at hotels, they have a lot of fun. Birds are coming into our neighborhood getting ready for the smorgasbord. Is that about it?
Could be. I've seen turkeys especially will eat them. Some of the smaller birds can eat them as well. But, cicadas, like I said, are as big as your thumb. So it's typically some of the bigger birds. I imagine crows would do pretty well. But like little songbirds, bluebirds aren't typically going to be eating them. So it's kind of your bigger birds, I think.
All right. So these things show up, and you said the males sing, as you put it. How, and if it's this many, how loud does this get?
It can be really loud. So cicadas in and of themselves can be very loud, just a single one. Periodical cicadas, because you've got millions of them on the landscape in some areas, it can be, I don't want to say deafening, because it doesn't hurt your ears, but, you know, very, very loud. Not quieter than a jackhammer, but not by much.
Oh, great. It's compared with a jackhammer.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Geez, I don't remember this from 17 years ago. Now, again, you said this is kind of spotty, so maybe where I live, it just, they're not there. But apparently down the road, they could be there, right? Is that roughly speaking, I guess?
Yeah, so 17 years ago, there was a survey in the area, and if you look at where they were found and where they weren't found, they're in these straight lines because you can hear the cicadas, you just drive along the road listening for them. And so we have a really good map of they weren't here or they were here. And I guess I could, the listeners can't see it, but I can show you guys on my phone.
I was going to say, I want to get this map.
If you Google, it's at the University of Connecticut, so if you Google Yukon and cicada, you'll find it. Huh. And so there's a lot of places where they weren't found. But looking here in central Pennsylvania, they were present in parts of northern Huntington County, parts of Mifflin County. Here in Center County, we've got them up in the Bellefonte area and up around, what is that, Bald Eagle State Park.
Okay.
But then, like, State College proper, they didn't find any. Out where I'm at, in Patton Township, out towards Stormstown, they didn't find them. I'll be listening because I'm hopeful to find some on my property, but, you know, they're in some places, they're not in others. So if you want to go see them, you can either find this map, see where they were 17 years ago, and go to those areas because you're higher chance of finding them, or just drive around listening. And if you drive long enough in within the region, you'll probably find them somewhere.
Penns Valley on that map?
I don't think so. They may have skipped Penns Valley. I don't know.
Do they? Are we expecting that they're going to be pretty similar to the map 17 years ago, or is there a chance that, like, how would they spread to other areas, and is that something, I guess, we're anticipating with this go-around?
So with periodical cicadas, we generally expect their ranges to contract or shrink.
Okay.
They can fly, and flying insects disperse. But they typically don't fly very far because they just can mate where they are and lay eggs where they are, so they don't typically go very far. And because they live for 17 years underground, they're really sensitive to soil disturbance. So if you have an area where there were cicadas 17 years ago, but now you put in a subdivision, chances are that they're gone because all of that soil disturbance just killed them off. So what we're seeing in the long term is slowly contracting and breaking up of the ranges of where they're at, where they used to be everywhere.
So this is not horny teenagers going to Vegas, all right? We're not making a long road trip.
No, they typically don't go very far.
Okay. And how many, this is brood number
14.
How many broods are there?
So they're numbered sequentially, but there are gaps. And I don't recall how it goes. There's at least 14 broods of the 17-year cicadas, which this is.
Huh.
There are fewer broods of the 13-year cicadas, and it goes like 1 through 15 or whatever, and then jumps some numbers until brood 13s start, and they start a new numbering. I don't have it in front of me, unfortunately.
All right, no, it's fine. Is there any other insect out there like a cicada? I mean, the 13, 17-year thing is bizarre to me. Is there any other insect like this?
Not really. So this is a phenomena that is pretty much restricted to eastern North America. And, you know, we think about these kind of natural phenomena. Millions of insects. Like, this is a really cool thing to go see. Like, you don't get this in other parts of the world. And normally we think, like, well, that kind of thing happens elsewhere. That happens in the tropics, in Africa, in South America, somewhere that's not here. And so it's really cool that we get this incredible phenomena that, like, people would travel from across the world to come see this because it's so cool to, like, be in the midst of all these cicadas and hear the deafening sound and be overwhelmed by just insect biomass.
So this is a tourist attraction?
It can be. And, you know, especially for Brood 10 a couple years ago, the really, really big one that is kind of all over the U.S., people certainly came from around the world to come see it.
Okay, that's weird. That's just bizarre. All right, so
see, you take it for granted, Gazy.
Call the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau. Go like, hey guys, we got an idea for you. Here we go.
Absolutely.
So these things are going to show up somewhere in the next 1 to 2 weeks and last for a month.
Yeah, about a month. So the adults come out. It takes them about a week to get ready to mate. So they'll come out and then be quiet for that first little bit. Then the males will start singing, and it'll, you know, it's like a bell curve. They'll start out slow. The ones that emerged first are going to be the first ones to start singing. Then you'll hit peak emergence, and that'll last for a week, maybe 10 days, and then it'll start to fall off again. So it'll be really loud for maybe a week.
You're giddy about this, aren't you?
It's really cool. I'm hoping
it'll be a really good party, and then the party's over. And man, is it over.
Yeah. And people get annoyed by it, but really, it doesn't happen for that long. You know, I was out of power for almost 4 days. Like, you can withstand a week of screaming cicadas.
Yeah, I'll take the cicadas over the
really?
Losing of the power. Yes.
Okay, we'll see if they show up in his yard.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Scavarlo, we appreciate your time this morning. Again, when I saw this story, and actually one more quick question.
Sure.
The story I saw mentioned the University of Connecticut. Mm-hmm. They've got like some special department or something for all this stuff?
Not a department, but you can imagine there's a lot of insects and not very many entomologists. Like, we've got a department here, and even that we've got a handful of professors. So you can't study everything. We don't have a person here that studies cicadas. I'm here because I kind of do all the general interviews about everything because I've got to talk to the public. Mm-hmm. Up at UConn, they've got a guy that studies cicadas, and so that's why a lot of the material coming out about them is from up there, because he's the guy. There's also another guy out at Ohio that studies them as well at, I forget where. So there's, you know, basically two professors in the country that made their living off periodical cicadas, and that's it.
Wow.
So you go to them for, like, the information.
Interesting.
I got a cigarette guy. Got a beer guy. Yeah, I got my cicada guy over here, folks.
Cicada guy. So, again, I want to find that map, search for University of Connecticut cicadas.
Yeah, and it'll come up.
It should come right up. Okay, because I'm sorry, doctor. These things, insects drive me a little crazy. Could they get, they don't get into houses, like burrow into houses or anything.
No, and they don't bite. They don't do anything but make noise and damage trees a little tiny bit. So there's no risk to humans. There's no risk to pets. They're not toxic. So if your dog eats them, it'll be just fine. It'll be like any of the other predators out there eating cicadas. They're a nuisance because they're loud, and that's about it.
Given some of the stuff that Kenai eats, I got to tell you, cicadas would be a welcome.
You're fine with that?
Yes. Okay. That'll be all right.
All right. Very good. Well, doctor, thanks for coming in, and I guess have fun for the next 4 or 5 weeks or something.
I'll send you some photos.
Well, go ahead. I guess
that'll be cool.
I assumed everywhere was getting this. You said it's going to be like patchy.
It'll be patchy. I'm going to have to go find them, I think.
All right. Just listen for them, I guess.
So they don't necessarily, because for some reason in my mind, it's like, well, if you go to like Rothrock or any of the forests, like they're just going to be everywhere. That's not really so much the case.
You're going to have better luck in undisturbed forest areas.
Okay.
It might be that they're not on the map because the researchers 17 years ago just didn't go past Rothrock.
Gotcha.
Because they were driving interstates and in roads just listening for them. So if you can't get into it via road, it's going to be more difficult.
Okay.
If you go to Rothrock, you might have good luck. I don't know if they're there or not, but it would be a good place to check.
We'll investigate.
This isn't like crickets where you could cook them up and do something with them.
Yes
or no?
Yes.
You could?
There's a lot of...
Sure.
Yeah, and they're big. They're supposed to taste like a crunchy lobster.
They're going to have protein.
A crunchy lobster.
Yeah, so
lobsters... Bottle them up, baby.
Lobsters and insects are related. And so you can imagine... And crayfish, too. And you can imagine there's not enough meat in there to, like, pull the meat out, so you pull the wings off, pop the head off, cook the rest of the body up, and so that exoskeleton gets crunchy. But it's got a lobster flavor to it. There's all kinds of recipes you can find online for stir-frying them, putting them on pizza, doing other stuff with them. I've never had it. It's supposed to be pretty good if you can get past the the mouthfeel of the crunchiness, but maybe some people like that.
I mean, generally speaking, I like crunchy food, like I like the potato chip, like you would think. I'll bring you in a bag, Gazy.
Okay, you do that.
I'll butter them up for
I'm
you.
I'm turning green here. Holy fright. Doctor, again, appreciate the time. And
yes,
I guess,
thanks.
Like I said, have fun for the next month and a half.
Thank you.
Something. All right.
Appreciate the time and the information very
sure.
much. Thank you.
All right. Crunchy lobster. Very interesting.
Well,
somebody may be calling in with a recipe now.
There
I don't
you
know.
Go.
We're
going to
take a break. We'll come back and
break.
We'll take your recipes here on Let's Talk. When we return after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during the Belfont Cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg and at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a sock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BelfontCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BelfontCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
This year's Penn State Board of Trustees election is about transparency and competence. And Pat Romano is asking for your alumni vote. Pat is a successful local business owner from Phillipsburg and a leader on the World Campus Alumni Board who believes in lowering student tuition, saving Commonwealth campuses, improving the Penn State student experience, and in honoring Joe and Sue Paterno by returning the Joe Paterno statue. Number 3 on your alumni ballot, Pat Romano will focus on Penn State's future and enough of the nonsense. This spring, vote for Pat Romano. Motto for the Penn State Board of Trustees.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Dottery Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Dotter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Dotter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Dotter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Well, look at that. Some open phone time here on a Thursday edition. Beautiful morning. It would be nice if we would hold up through the afternoon and evening. And the phone line is, well, ringing, as you can probably hear in the background.
Yeah.
Let's say good morning and welcome to Let's Talk. You're live on the air.
Good morning, Jeff. Good morning, Scott.
Howdy. Good morning, sir.
Welcome back, Jeff.
Why, thank you.
You know, The other day I had some chicken and it tasted exactly like rattlesnake.
Now, see, I had some rattlesnake and I thought it tasted exactly like cicada. So, you know, hey, I didn't.
Yeah, okay, yum.
Well, on that note, I'm going to have to harken back to Tommy Lee Jones and Lonesome Dove. I don't think the guys are going to take much to eating bugs.
Yeah, it is a hard one to, like, I mean, there really is nutritional value in all of that. And probably if you were just raised differently, like with a lot of things, it's like, well, why are we okay eating pigs and not other animals? And not, it's just the way things have evolved or devolved, I guess, depending on your point of view. But yeah, we were talking during the break. I have had the crickets before. And not a big fan. We did at the insect fair the one year, this was many years ago, but they had the chocolate covered crickets and it helped. I'm like, well, you know, if you got rid of the cricket part, this would be delightful. This is the thing. You can have this chocolate without the crickets getting in the way is the thing.
Chocolate covered anything is sort of like, I always tell people when they say, I just love liver and onions. I said, no, you love cooked onions.
It's much the same thing with deep fried. You deep fry stuff. It's like, well, that's pretty darn good. But just about anything.
I have had frog legs.
I'm not a big fan of those either. No.
Jeff, do you happen to remember Tom Wallace, who was the athletic director at State College?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. One time, as a favor to some of us, we helped out a lot of things with the PIAA, and as a result, Bob Lombardi invited us down to play West Shore down in Harrisburg, and we went to a restaurant. I don't remember the name. It was kind of actually on the river, and it was a really nice place. And this would get you, because knowing Tom Wallace's personality, waitress is going around the table. What would you like, sir? What would you like, sir? What would you like, sir? They come to Tom. Tom says, yeah, I have a question. She goes, sure. She goes, how do you prepare your ostrich? And I thought, okay. It stuck with me all these years, and that had to have been 40 years ago.
Yeah, well, and if it's deep fried, buttered, and chocolate covered, sign me up. Yeah. I'll at least try it.
Okay.
Oddly enough, he had it, and we're all making fun of him, but we all wanted a piece.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be willing to try stuff.
Yeah. Jeff, real quick, any word on anything to do with wrestling?
That's pretty open-ended. There we go.
Now they're looking at some rules changes again. Some of them I think would be good. Some of them I'm not sure. We can maybe delve into that. I don't have the list in front of me, but I was going through that a little bit the other night, just some of the proposals. Yeah, I don't think there's a whole lot. Right now there's kind of a holding pattern in a lot of these sports. And I thought there was supposed to be a decision this week. I think the judge had given this week to come up with the agreement in that House settlement case. And I don't think, at least I've not seen, and in fairness, now that I'm saying this, I didn't really spend time looking it up last night again as I intended to. Just looking here real quick on a Google search. But I think they have to wait until there is the decision made as to how the roster limits are going to be implemented. But the judge, one of the hang-ups in the judge approving the settlement as is, that the $2.8 billion settlement that the NCAA and the schools kind of agreed to, it was the roster limits that the NCAA put in place, and the judge indicated pretty strongly that she wants there to be not an immediate, hey, you must reduce the rosters to the limits that were set, but rather a gradual reduction. So, you know, that is going to affect not just wrestling, obviously all of the sports teams' rosters, if it is allowed to stand, and the proposal that seemed to be gaining some traction was, hey, let's just leave it where it's at for this year, and then over the next two or three years, like they'll reduce each following season by a certain number. I'm still not sure I understand why they're reducing the rosters, period. That just seems odd to me. But
I'm a little ignorant on this, Jeff. Does that have to do with like scholarship limits or something? Or
well, this is the thing. They're adding the, and I think there's been some misunderstanding of this. They are adding significantly, in most cases, they are adding the number of scholarships that you can give if you are a varsity program at the Division I level. But like wrestling went from 9.9 to 30 scholarships. Well,
right.
I don't know that anybody, Penn State, Iowa, Oklahoma State included, and I don't know, maybe a couple are. I don't think Penn State, well, I know Penn State's not going to the 30 right out of the gate. I'm not sure that they'll get there, period, but they're in the 20s in terms of what they're offering, and I think that's going to be on the very high end. My guess is a lot of schools are going to struggle just to get to 12 or 13 financially. And again, this is, you're doing this with all of these sports, so initially, I think a lot of people were like, oh man, this is great. Now we get 30 scholarships and we get, you know, 40 scholarships for baseball or whatever the numbers are. Well, no, that's what's available. There's also the reality of what schools can afford in an era where you're now paying the athletes and all of these different elements. So I don't think, we've got to wait to see how this all settles out. But there's not really much news. I mean, we have a bunch of freestyle tournaments and everything. coming up here on the wrestling front.
Are there any of the? I know this was discussed a couple years ago. Is there any change on riding time? I know there's some discussion. They were thinking at least about a point for every minute. A net minute of riding time?
Yeah, it is one of the proposals, and I'm forgetting exactly what the rule change proposals, and again, none of this is has been approved yet for wrestling, but there was, and I'm forgetting now exactly what the riding time was going to be impacted. I don't think it was quite the, I've seen it suggested, hey, get another point for each minute of riding time. There's others that are advocating just get rid of the riding time altogether. So you have, different people with different thoughts on it. I'll get that list and we'll go through it, but maybe on the Goon and Ironhead show here, either today or next week.
Well, that probably would not affect the riding time differential. Wouldn't make a whole lot of difference to Penn State since it's take them down, let them up anyhow.
Yeah, although I will tell you, riding is such a big part of wrestling and the ability to get out. I mean, those are like what wrestling really is you're trying to control your opponent, right? Like that's
right.
The whole I'm trying to exert physical control over you and show my dominance. I mean, that's what you're trying to do with the sport. Well, if you just think about wrestling around with somebody like that, take the wrestling away from it, but you're just wrestling around with your brother. Well, is there any better way? Hey, you can't get away from me.
Right.
Well, that's right. Pretty good dominance. Like that, to me, that's a big part of wrestling. I don't know that I necessarily want to see it changed either way. I think it's, to me, it works pretty well as it is. I think some of the stalling, they've got to figure out how to properly call or not call that, but
I think that's a very big thing. I would like to, in regards to stalling, I'd much rather see more enforcement on the, I call it the Iowa technique, which is stay at least an arm's length away from your opponent as long as you can. I think on their feet is where they need to really look at stalling.
I would agree. I'm bringing it up here because I couldn't remember. So, the only thing that they are proposing on the riding time front, and I'm not a fan, I think the intention here isn't bad. I just, we can't keep adding things that the officials need to try to anticipate,
right,
or and what they have, what the suggestion is from the Rules Committee is that officials would be able to stop the riding time when the offensive wrestler is going to be called for stalling.
Okay.
Meaning if you're on top and you're, the official feels you're stalling, then he can stop the riding time. Well.
But continue to wrestle?
Yes. I don't like that. Now, what I have advocated for years, and I don't seem to get any support for it, but if you are hanging on, if I'm coming around for a reverse, I'm on bottom, and I come up and I turn in on you and I have your leg and now you're in defensive posture, but I haven't escaped and I'm still working the takedown. Well, that riding time is still accruing for you. You're not riding me. I am.
Right.
It's a matter now of whether I'm going to get a point or two. And sometimes you see, guys will be in a position for like 40 seconds at the edge of the mat. I'm working, and we go off the edge of the mat. Well, you just got 40 seconds of riding time for defending basically a shot from me from underneath. To me, you ought to be able to cut the riding. Hey, stop the riding time. These guys are,
this guy isn't riding now,
even though we don't have an escape or a reversal just yet. And that to me would be easy. It's like, all right, the official says, stop the riding time until we see how this situation plays out.
Yeah, post fist over your head or some such signal.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you're brilliant beyond your years, buddy. I never really heard anybody mention that, but that probably makes as much sense as anything else.
If only we could get more people to understand my brilliance. I'm going to have to agree with you. A wonderful way to end that particular
call. All right,
call.
Let's quickly take a break before your head fills up the whole studio.
A couple of breaks and we're coming right back.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during the Belfont Cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg and at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a sock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BelfontCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BelfontCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
Join the Nittany Knights as they perform Just Sing, 7 p.m. May 17th at the State Theater in downtown State College. This year's spring show will feature 2024 International Barbershop Harmony Society gold medal winners, Three and a Half Men, along with choirs from State College High School and Mountain Indian Park Forest Middle Schools. Tickets $30 for adults, $20 for children 15 and under. Get your tickets today at nittanyknights.org. Just Sing, May 17th, 7 p.m. at the State Theater. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time, even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Fox Sports.
A few minutes remaining here on our Thursday edition of Let's Talk. Jeff and Scott with you. Some open phone time here. We say good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Hey, I'll recap. Beautiful day. I'm looking at Japanese knotweed and garlic mustard. Garlic mustard's in the brassica family, cabbage.
Yep.
Japanese knotweed's just a nasty old invasive weed, but it tastes like asparagus when you cut it at the shoots.
There you go.
Okay.
So, unfortunately, we've got to coordinate these invasive species with the Haemopteran, which is the aphid in the aphid family.
Does it make, wait, I have a question. I don't know the answer. Does it make your pee smell funny the way asparagus does?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It's not that good.
Okay.
But it tastes like asparagus. But, yeah, I love that story. I actually do recall, I'm old enough to recall traveling through Seven Mountains 17 years ago or so, and it absolutely does sound like a freight train. You will take notice.
it's so, an attention getter.
And it's localized. And unfortunately, I don't know if I could put up with freight train for 2 weeks in a row. But, but getting back to some of the recipes, there's, if you can't do the crunchy thing, there's called the tenral stage. So when they first emerge out of the soil after sucking on essentially sugar water with no protein, that's what takes 17 years to grow. Remember that, boys and girls, don't drink soda pop all the time. They finally emerge, and for about a few hours before their exoskeleton hardens, you can eat them like soft shell crabs. So I say get out there, eat them. And there are a lot of recipes, and they are a very important part of the ecosystem. They actually supply quite a bit of protein and substance to the critters.
Yeah?
So, okay. Yeah, I enjoy those talks. Thanks for having those types of talks.
Oh, yeah. Nope, thank you for the call. Yeah.
Okay.
Everything has its role.
Crunchy lobster.
Even if we don't understand.
Soft shell crabs. Wow.
Except for the gallbladder.
Huh.
Can't figure out what the doggone gallbladder is.
All right, because we're almost out of time here. I'm sorry, these things still freak me out. And maybe it's the freight train part, you know? Like he mentioned, now Seven Mountains probably, that would be in the crosshairs. Because our guest, Dr. Scavarla, mentioned areas that have not been disturbed.
Yeah.
You know, like building things and so on. Probably decent bet some of these things are going to show up here in about a week, week and a half, and I don't know, do a web search for cicada recipes. The internet has everything else. I'm sure it has recipes for cicadas.
Oh, for sure.
Anyway. All right, tomorrow, friends, we have an open line program, plenty to talk about. Still no Pope, All right, in Rome, they're still seeing black smoke. All right, maybe tomorrow. We'll see. Beautiful day today. We'll see about tonight. Friends, it's a Thursday. Have a good one.
From State College, Lock Haven, and Belfont, Central PA Sports Authority, Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.